We're thankful we have this privilege to be able to speak. I have this privilege to speak to you about the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to just read a passage from 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse number 14 and 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Here the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Corinth and is compelled by the love of God. Compelled by the love of God to share Christ with all men. And he begins by saying in verse number 14 that the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge. There was a conclusion that was in the heart and mind of the Apostle Paul. There was a judgment that he had made concerning what happened with concerning Christ and what that therefore meant. So here's the conclusion. He thus judged this, that if one died for all, then we're all dead. The conclusion was this. Paul looked at the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, and beholding the Lamb of God who died for the sins of the whole world, can only conclude one thing, that if one man died for all, that simply means that we're all dead. That's the conclusion of his statement. The Bible says, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. The world needs saving, my friend, today. And Jesus Christ came to pay for the sins of the world. Why? Because all are dead. We are all in need of salvation. Christ's death was for all. The Bible says, Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Christ not only gave himself for the world, but he gave himself for the church, his bride, that he would purchase his prized possession, the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. And not only that, the Apostle Paul echoed a very personal understanding of for whom Christ died. And he said in Galatians 2:20, for I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. And note these words, which loved me, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's the cry of a true believer, my friend. That he can not only say that Christ died for all, but he can also say that not only Christ died for the church, but he could also say, like Paul, Christ died for me. How many people today like to say that Christ, yes, he died for the world, but how many could raise your hand and say, Christ died for me? And I know that. The Apostle Paul knew that love of Christ, that love of God in his heart through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Hebrews 2:9 that Jesus Christ tasted death for every man. My friend, that what simply means that if you're here today, Christ died for you. And if Christ died for you, that means that you are dead. That means you need saving, that there is no spiritual life within the soul of man. Christ died for us all. How did he die? Well, we know the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ. We know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who left heaven's glory and came and to an old rugged cross to die for the sins of humanity. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, the Bible teaches us. He wore a crown of thorns upon his head, and he was beaten, and the Bible says, and he was smitten and rejected of men. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, the Bible says, acquainted with grief. That's how he died for us. And he hung naked on an old rugged cross, not for his own sin, but for our sin, because he died for all. He died for you. He died for me. We can cry, he died because of the Romans. He died because of Israel. No, my friend, he died because of our sins. He died for our sins. It was our sin that nailed him to the cross. And here Paul says, if Christ died for all, then we're all dead. Simply saying that we all are in need of life. And my friend, we need spiritual life today. We need to be made alive through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous," the Bible says. "No, not one." The Bible says, "The soul that sinneth shall surely die." There is no escaping the reality of our sin. There is no escaping the reality of death. And the Bible teaches that we are dead in trespasses and in sins. Ephesians chapter 2 speaks of that. Because of man's sin, we are now dead and separated spiritually from the life of God. In Ephesians, Paul says that we are alienated from the life of God. This is a foreign to the life of God. We don't know God, neither his life, because of our sin. And therefore, we are in need of his life. Amen. And this is where the gospel begins, my friend. In a state and condition of death, we are apart from God and need spiritual life. So man goes about life trying to fabricate spiritual life. And Bible teaches that they're only producing what the Bible talks about as dead works. But the Bible says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature." There is life, my friend, in Christ. Man being born in sin is in need of spiritual life that is found in Jesus. Amen. You say, "Well, I was born and raised in a Christian home." My friend, you were born in sin. The Bible says that in sin didst my mother conceive me. We are sinners by birth and we are sinners by choice. And my friend, we have rebelled against the will of our holy God. We have broken his commandments and violated his laws. And every child that is born into this world is born a spiritual stillborn. And that's how we come into this world. Because if one died for all, then we're all dead. You see, many people will be happy to say that Jesus Christ died for all, but they won't want to identify themselves as being spiritually dead. But the Bible says here that we thus judge that if one died for all, what's the conclusion? Then we are all dead. We are all in need of spiritual life. And that's why Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again." He needed new life. He was born once into this world, but he must be born from above, my friend. And so every person in this room, in this world today, must be born from above. They must have new life. And we can try and fabricate life. We can try and copy those that have true and spiritual life. But my friend, religion is not true religion. There's a difference between religion and true religion and true spiritual life that comes from a personal relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each one has turned to his own way. But the Bible says that the Lord hath laid on him, on Jesus, our Savior, the iniquity of us all. A sinless, spotless Savior died for our sins. He died for the sins of the world, and he died because we are all spiritually dead. If he died for all, then we must all admit, with the Apostle Paul here, that we're all dead. And therefore, in that condition, we need life. And how do we go about obtaining life? "Oh, for by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin," the Bible says. "So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." And then how can we have life? How can I be rid my soul from death and hell, my friend? There is life. There is hope. And it's in Jesus Christ. Amen. The Bible teaches that there is life in our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." Jesus is the one that gives eternal life. Jesus said that, "I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." Where do I find life? You'll find it in Jesus, my friend. The Bible says about the prodigal son that this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found from death to life. The Bible says that we can pass from death unto life by coming to the Lord Jesus Christ and trusting him as our Savior. The Bible says in him was life. That is in Jesus. In him was life. And that life was the light of men. Oh, Jesus came to give life. He is life. And he can give life. And as he said in his famous words that many people know today, but perhaps don't pay much attention to, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and what? The life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." He didn't say, "I am just a way." He did not just say, I am a truth. He did not just say, I am one option for life. He just said that you won't find life outside of me. You won't find truth outside of Christ. You won't find salvation and eternal life without Jesus Christ, because he is life, my friend. He is life. And how man goes about to establish their own ways of obtaining life, but fall short because they fall short of the one who is life, Jesus Christ. He is life. The Bible says in 1 John 4:9, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Live through him. Live through Christ, eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, not through a church organization, not through man's self-realization, not through man's attempt to earn favor with God. We have life through Christ. Amen. He is life. He is life. We cannot obtain our own life. We cannot make ourselves alive. He must raise us from the dead. He must raise us. And he does by his life. And we can live through him. No matter the religious pilgrimage, no matter the goodness of our own work and hands, without Jesus Christ, my friend, there is no spiritual life. We must admit that. We must understand that he is our life. He is life eternal. The Bible says in Romans 5:21, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life. Look at those words here, by Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, if you want to have eternal life, you're going to have to begin by saying, there's nowhere else I can have life outside of Jesus Christ. That's where it begins. I'm a sinner, I'm dead in trespasses and sin, but there is life, and it's in our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the conclusion of the matter. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Do you have the life of Christ, my friend? Are you truly born again by the Spirit of God? Can you testify that once I was dead, but now I am alive? That old man, that dead person that did not have that living relationship to God is now being changed. There's life. There's breath in my soul. I know whom I have believed. That's what the Apostle Peter said. He said, where shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. We know and are true that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Can you say that today? That Jesus is life. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And only we can find life in him. The Bible says in John 3:36, it says here, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. You have two options here, my friend, today. Either that you realize that you are a sinner and dead in trespasses and sins and separated from the life of God, and you cry out to the one who is life, the one who can give life, the one who died that we might live, and call upon his name for salvation, or you leave this place still dead in trespasses and sins, going on to that second death, which is the lake of fire. That's the options here that God gives for us. All the wrath of God abides on you, or you believe on the Son and you have everlasting life. Would you believe? Would you commit yourself to the completed sacrifice of Christ on Calvary? Would you fully trust him? Would you receive his gift of eternal life? Would you say, yes, Lord Jesus, I must be born again? Would you say, you must save me from my sin? The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. There's that word again, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Why go anywhere else? Why seek anything else? My friend, don't ignore the call of the Savior. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. Would you come to him today? Amen. O ye that are weary and burdened with sin, O ye that know that you are away and apart from God, would you come to life eternal today? Would you humble yourself, knowing your sinfulness, and cry to God and say, I'm dead. Would you save me? Would you make me alive by your Spirit? Would you save my soul from hell? He will. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In fact, the Bible teaches us that the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life. There it is again. Freely. Freely. you can take of the water of life. You don't have to do anything else but come in repentance and brokenness and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, that He is the way, the truth, and the life, and you can have the water of life freely. Freely. You don't have to bring a dollar with you, my friend. You just need to bring your old sinful self, broken and contrite, and cast yourself at the feet of Jesus, and you can have life eternal today. Are you thirsty? Come. And the Bible says, whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. The invitation is found in the Word of God. But the challenge is, will you come? Or will you stay dead in trespasses and sins? See, the onus is on you, my friend. It's upon us to come to Him that is life eternal, that we might have life eternal. Then it says there, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, Christ dying for us all, then we're all spiritually dead. We're all dead. We are in need of Christ. And verse 15 says, and that He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. And now Paul turns his attention to those that live. To those that have not, that have died but have been raised by Christ, he turns to them and says, okay, so you've been raised. You say, yes, I've been saved. I know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I've been made alive by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been raised by the Spirit of God. Well, here he points to you, my friend, and says this, that we thus judge that if one died for all dead, and we have more of a judgment to make here, that if one died for all, we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. I am afraid to say that Christians often do not live like Christ. But the Bible says that if Christ died for us, and that we have life through Him, we that have life through Jesus must live as though we have life through Jesus. We must live unto God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's just a natural conclusion. One man dies for our sins and he gives us new life, and then the Christian turns around and does not live for him. Squanders the life eternal, as it were, squanders that new birth and just destroys all that God ever did for him. Spoils and wasted. But Paul says that's not the attitude of a Christian. He's one that understands that Christ died for all and that he should not live unto himself. And Paul echoes this in Corinthians when he says, what, know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? And listen to these words. And ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We belong to God if we've been made alive. And our responsibility is not to live to ourselves, but unto Him that raised us from the dead. My friend Christian, who are you living for today? Who are you living for? Do you live unto Him that raised you from the dead? Or do you live for yourself and selfish pleasures? I know it's the desire of both Sally and Sam to live for Him that raised them from the dead. And so it should be your desire, my friend today that knows Jesus Christ. Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Amen. And we must live unto Him. So many Christians say, I will die for Jesus. But my friend, if you are not willing to live for Jesus, you'll never die for Jesus. We must live for Him. We must live unto Him. For then when we live unto Him, we'll be ready to die for Him. You say, how will I live for Him? Would you look back at the cross, Christian? And remember how He died for you. And when you see how Christ died for you, it's not so hard to live for Him. When you see the suffering He went through to give you life, you'll know that the life that you have belongs to Him. And you'll go to the cross yourself and die for the Savior. You'll die to your lusts and to your passions and to your pride. And you'll live in humility and the fear of God all the days of your life. If you look to the cross again. And He rose again from the grave that we might have life eternal and raise us up that we might live in His sight forevermore. I finish with this verse, Romans 14, verse 8 and 9. For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. Amen. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that's raised from the dead, that He might be Lord both of the living and the dead. Is He your Lord? He lived and died and rose again that He might be your Lord and He might be your Savior. Will you bow the knee to Him today, O Christian? Will you bow the knee to Him, O sinner, and come to Jesus Christ and find life eternal today? You can do that in your heart, cry out to God, and He will hear you. It was David Livingstone's last birthday, and his friend Stanley found David Livingstone, who was a great missionary who spent 30 years in the darkest Africa. And he wanted David Livingstone to come back to England with him, but Livingstone refused to go. He wanted to stay and serve the Lord there and even die there. And 2 days later, he wrote this in his diary after his friends had come back with me to England. He said, "March 19, my birthday, my Jesus, my King, my life, my all. I again dedicate my whole self to Thee. Accept me and grant, O gracious Father, that ere the year is gone, I may finish my work. Amen. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen." And the Bible, and it says here that a year later, his servants found him dead on his knees. David Livingstone died dead on his knees. "Christian, would you live a life like this man?" He says, "I'm willing to go all the way with my Savior, all the way." And that begins when you have new life in Christ and bow before Him in humility and cry out to Him to be your Lord and your Savior. Let's pray.